So good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Nice to see you on such an enjoyable evening. One thing when you do your, if you do the full prostration bow and your hands are down, then just lift them a little. Don't leave them down, but bring them up. Just, you know, not high, but like just maybe ears level. If you do it sincerely, you can feel the weight of your own awareness lifting. And they say it's like lifting the Buddha's feet. But we don't lift the... Of course, it's funny, isn't it? How could you lift the Buddha's feet without lifting the whole Buddha? Isn't that funny? They don't say you lift the Buddha, they say you lift the Buddha's feet. Something else to correct. But it's like you're holding the Buddha's feet. Just lifting your own awareness in that activity. It's quite similar to when we walk in here and you take us one full step. How many of you felt restricted while walking so slowly? You're like, I want to go somewhere. Yeah, you're not the only one. The only honest one.
Not only one, but again, though.
Yeah. Well, we feel held back. But from what? From being 2 inches in front of us. Whereas if we realize we can express our whole self with each step, there's nothing being held. Everything we do is an opportunity to express our whole being. So it's just the mind changing. It's just our understanding of what we're doing that's changing. Difference between saying, oh, we think we're being held back. Actually, that's a chance to express yourself completely. You say, oh, I realize that. I feel much better. But I still feel held back. In our sitting on Sunday, something very wonderful happened. Somebody said, oh, well, I feel this when I'm sitting. And they described a kind of unpleasant feeling. I thought it was really spectacular. Mm-hmm. Great to say, I feel this. And the person was clearly involved in their feeling. And we tend to be involved in our feelings. And in fact, in our culture, our feelings are quite important. They're prominent, wouldn't you say? Feelings are fairly prominent in your life. They tend to have a fairly high profile. They're so important that there's even a song about feelings called Feelings. Do you remember that song, Feelings? Mm-hmm. Somebody, you know how it goes? Something Feelings. And the song is about feelings. So feelings are very important. There's no song called Thoughts. Right. Feelings. Very important. Gets a song. It's played all over the world. In every language. Because most people have feelings. And are aware of their feelings. Most people have thoughts too, but they don't really know what they are. Our thoughts are kind of mysterious to us. And thought is sort of kept away from us. In our culture, feeling has been emphasized that another word has been substituted for feelings. And that word is truth. We used to say, I feel this, now we say, my truth is. And then they tell you how you feel. So feelings now have become truth in our culture. But that's not true, unfortunately. Or fortunately. They remain just what we feel. In the Buddha Dharma, in the Buddha's teaching, feelings are really no different than cantaloupes, or ants, or thoughts, sensations, or trees, or the color of the sky. And feelings are a gateway of the Dharma. Feelings are an opportunity for us to discover the boundlessness of existence itself. When we make our feelings prominent, we actually remove them from the generalized fabric of our life and make them a special category. And usually, there's a part of us that likes that because that part is very attached to our feelings. And feelings are quite wonderful. I mean, just like cantaloupes are quite nice. Feelings are nice. Love is nice. Hate is nice. Jealousy is really great. feeling betrayed is good. Affection and intimacy, all of these things are kind of nice. They all have equal value. They're emotions. And if I was to ask you, what is the self-nature of any of these emotions? You might try to tell me what the self-nature, for example, of love is. And you would look for words to tell me what the really, the self, the core of love is, or of any of the other emotions that you might have. But in the Buddha Dharma, there is no self-nature. There is no permanent, separate thing called love, or called hatred, called jealousy, or called intimacy. We know this because of the teaching on the interdependent nature of things, or a co-origination or codependent arising. It's all kinds of ways of saying that things mingle and then everything comes into existence because of the co-mingling of all the elements. So love, it turns out, is actually made of all sorts of things. It has no permanent separate being called love. There is an emotion attached to it, call it love. There's an affect of it, call it love, for example. There's no self-nature. So when we are practicing, the Buddha said that we should contemplate our emotions, our feelings, in our feelings. This is very important. To contemplate our feelings in our feelings means to sit with our feelings the way you would sit with a friend, you know, close friend, someone who you either like to sit beside or who needs you to sit beside them, who wants you to sit beside them, and who you want to sit beside because you're very close to them. Whether it's love or hate, jealousy, whatever it is, it doesn't make any difference. As I said, all feelings are equal. From the perspective of the Buddha Dharma, all feelings are equal because all things are gateways to ultimate reality. If we sit closely with anything, ultimately we will touch, let's call it, the real. Because we will be able to discover what that thing is. And by discovering what that thing is, we can discover what this thing is. Through the same process. But our feelings have been given such a special place, such a special category in our lives, that, as I said, we forget. That we can actually sit with them rather than be controlled by them. Or led around by them, or defined by them. And we often allow the emotion we're having to define us in the moment. Don't you think that's true? Mm-hmm. We say, I am, and then we name a feeling, as if that's all we are. I don't know how you respond to this, but I think it's dangerous to do it. It isn't dangerous to have a feeling. Having a feeling is fine. But to believe in the moment, that we are the feeling, or that the feeling is us, I think is quite dangerous. Why? Because feelings, maybe even more, or seemingly more than all things, are subject to the law of impermanence. They pass. They go. So 1 minute I am love, next minute I am hate. In other words, I'm just being blown around by the wind called feelings. So I think that we should contemplate our feelings in our meditation and really see what is it that this thing called love is? What is it that this thing called hate is? What is it that this thing called a betrayal is? Or what is it that this thing called even anxiety or something? I don't know if anxiety is a feeling. I have to read the DSM-4 to discover if it's a feeling or a pathology. In some cases they may be the same. But whatever it is, to sit with the feeling, to be a friend to the feeling, and through being a friend to the feeling, to allow the feeling to become a friend to us, to allow the feeling to enlighten us. Usually we think we have to be the one to do everything, but actually we can be enlightened by our emotions if we sit with them as friends. They can show us who and what we really are as beings. They can reveal a Buddha nature to us. In the talk on Sunday, I mentioned where Suzuki Roshi mentioned actually that when we return to our beginner's mind, our compassionate nature is revealed. And someone mentioned that, well, when they're sitting, when they return to their breath, they don't feel compassionate, they feel lots of other things, but not compassionate. And this was problematic. This is very common. We sit zazen, we concentrate our breathing, our mind begins to settle in itself, and we notice what's been going on all along, which is mostly feelings. If we stop there, then we say, I am this. And this is the dangerous part. If we continue our practice in the midst of those feelings, just focusing the breath, just returning to the breath, over and over and over again, without defining, without being caught by, without being led around by, whatever it is we're feeling, then we begin to descend through the feeling form to what we are. So when you're sitting and a feeling catches you, whatever it is, no matter what it is, it doesn't matter. The most important thing is your consistency of returning again and again and again to your breath. To allow the breath to begin to work with the feeling. You don't have to think the feeling. You don't have to kind of inspect the feeling and say, what is it? You don't have to do any of that. Allow the breath simply to mingle with the feeling, to breathe the feeling. And then pretty soon the feeling begins to breathe with the breath. And that's when the feeling begins to gain spaciousness inside itself. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand what I'm saying? The feeling itself gains the spaciousness of breathing. Feeling starts to breathe and be alive to itself and loses its stuck quality. And if we sit with it, we gradually become released from the grip that the feeling has on us, and we might discover something. And the feeling might become truly a gateway to the Buddha Dharma, to the nature of things as they are, to the Buddha's teaching, and to who and what we really are. If we allow our feelings to function in this way, in relationship to our practice, we realize what a great teacher our feelings can be. We don't need to have any intellectual understanding of our feelings. We don't need to become smart about them in the usual way. Our feelings will become smart about themselves. Wouldn't you like your feelings to be a little smarter? Do you think it would be nice if they were? In this way, we accept our feelings completely, 100%, no matter what they are. No matter how wonderful, and no matter how frightening, no matter how we may judge them and say, oh, that's not good. Well, I don't want to feel that. I hope no one knows I'm feeling that. I'm not telling. And then, of course, as soon as you open your mouth, everyone knows. The big secret, everyone knows. It's the big secret in all of our lives. Everyone already knows. We're always the last to know. These feelings are such a treasure. They are part of our human existence. We don't have to fix them, turn them, brush them away. We don't have to do anything. But if we allow the spaciousness of our practice to mingle with the feelings will become quite clarified. And we'll find out when it's time. It's quite liberating. Don't you think it would be nice to have feelings and be free of them all at the same time? That way you get to do everything. The truth is we can. We can. And since we spend so much time with our feelings, I think we should be aware of it as a practice. We really should. And give ourselves this treasure. I don't know what time it is, but...
8:45.
Perfect. Okay. Does anyone have anything they want to say? Now that we've ended exactly on time, shall we ignore that? Okay. Let's sit at house. Thank you.